Hi, listeners. Rabia here. Before we get into this week's episode, I have two quick favors to ask of you. First of all, if you love this show, please support our sponsors because our sponsors support us. We cannot keep coming back week after week unless we have sponsorship. So check out the great products and services that they offer. Always use our unique URL or codes that we provide every week on the show. And you can also find them in the show notes for every week if you go on our website and get some great deals. Secondly, don't forget to subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts. Please give us a 5-star rating and leave a little bit of feedback. We'd love to hear from you. And also, these ratings help other listeners find our podcast. And you know, that's going to help keep us afloat too. So with that, enjoy this week's episode.
This means that Donald Trump will be the 45th president of the United States.
This is your life now. This is our election now. This is us. This is our country. It's real.
Hi, and welcome back to the 45th podcast. Rabia here, and I'm here with Susan this week. Hey, Susan.
Hey, Rabia.
How you doing?
Good. And we just had a great week at Podcast Movement up in Philly.
We did. We were both there last week and representing both the 45th and Undisclosed. And I had a fantastic time, actually. I met a lot of great industry people.
Yeah. And I got to say, your cornhole skills really improved time playing.
To be honest, Susan challenged me to cornhole, which I didn't know that was what it was. I didn't know what it was called, to be honest. Game, and then did not tell me the rules, or I didn't hear them. I don't know. But once I found out how to do it, it worked out, but it was fun.
Once she found her feet, she started flying. She's a cornhole natural.
Yeah. Yeah. At least I can get it on. I can get that little sand sack on the board. And we had to do all this while the baby was crawling all over everything. My child was with me. Two of my children were with me. And then Susan, I heard you partied hard before you left town.
With the Audio Boon team. It was good fun. And yeah, Nicole came out too. And Celeste.
Yes. We had a lot of folks that we knew there. It was really good. I really enjoyed it. You and I were both on panels, got to meet a lot of great people. So, next year is in Orlando and I'm already planning it, make a vacation out of it. So let's get to it. Last week, we missed you. Me and Waj had a lot to talk about, but things aren't slowing down, but I thought we'd start off with
you're
some,
saying
you know,
there's a lot going on in Trump world last week. Wow. I'm really shocked.
Last week. Yeah. It shocked. Yeah. But there was stuff that I was like, damn, I wish Susan was here. I would really love to hear her intake on it. But yeah, no, it was good to talk to him about it, but it's never ending. And Giuliani can't stop talking about the same stuff. So we'll get to that in a bit, but a couple of bits of, I think, not as, important news, but still interesting news. And that is this. The Trump star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, first of all, was defaced this past week. I did not know it had been defaced once before, meaning destroyed before.
Someone tweeted the Trump star has been stolen, and they show pictures. You're like, well, that's not stolen. That's just annihilated.
Oh, no. Yeah, it was destroyed with a pickaxe or something. It was just broken into pieces. And that's what had happened in 2016. The guy who did it, his name is Austin Clay, who was arrested for it. And then he was bailed out by James Otis, who is a man who previously destroyed the star. So heroes, both of them. Good for you guys.
I will say that is not my preferred method of protest at all. I think there are much better ways of doing it that don't get you in prison or jail, like the Trump baby helium balloon. But
yeah, the baby balloon's lovely. They did look. They replaced the stupid star. And now, to make sure it is protected, his people are there guarding it. There are two Russian guards standing guard. This is actually true. There's a picture circulating. There's pictures circulating online. Two guys dressed like Russian guards, complete with a flag and those big, heavy olive uniforms and hats, are guarding the star for their president. So
honor guard.
Mm-hmm. Some other news. This was kind of interesting. I actually didn't see this coming. And there's different reasons that are being given for this. And that is that Ivanka is shutting down her fashion brand. Oh, terrible.
I mean, why? Nothing I've seen really explains it for me. The consumer backlash, well, maybe, but she's also, mm-hmm. has it been that bad?
Well, she's saying that she wants to avoid the appearance of profiting off her father's presidency, which is utter crap.
But literally didn't stop her any other time.
Yeah. What I have read also is that, yeah, they've had a steep downturn in sales. And by the way, do you own any Ivanka pieces, by mistake?
Oh, don't call me out, Rabia.
Oh, you do. You know what? I do too. But it was pre-election.
Pre-election. So I have extremely big feet, unfortunately. And I will say that I have some Ivanka heels I really like because they come in my size and they're comfy. And I'm not going to get rid of them just because she's in office, but no, I'm not buying new ones.
You need comfy shoes. And look, you're tall. You need big feet, you know, to keep you upright.
I will say that her shoes are good for that. And, you know, and after the election, I bought new ones, but I'm holding on to the ones I got.
I mean, they're yours now. It's, you know, it's fine. And I know in the last couple of years, I mean, I hate to admit it, but there's plenty of times that so many times it's happened. And I'm pretty picky. I'll find a top in a store and I'm like, I love this. And I'm like, God damn it, it's Ivanka. And then I force myself to put it back. But yeah, so she's shutting down. So you're saying, I'm sure you've heard these same reasons, but you think there might be something else going on? Another reason?
I mean, nothing I've seen has really explained it for me. I mean, she's been pursuing the business really hard. First of all, obviously her explanation is not true because she was pursuing it very hard and obtaining like foreign trademarks at awkward times. So that looks really bad, way worse than just like having the brand in the first place, which she obviously.
Right. And China's tariffs totally missed her. They totally missed her.
Yeah, it's possible that really it's just like financially not viable and that's all it is. But I'm not convinced we have the full story yet.
Mm. Well, her fans, Trump fans, are going to be missing out. I don't know when they'll have to resort back to whatever. But in the last couple of years, Marshalls, Nordstrom, TJ Maxx, Hudson's Bay Company, a bunch of stores had actually stopped selling her products completely. So I can see how. And her products were not like, I'm not saying they're like really, they're not like high-end designer products, but they're also not like Walmart brand. They're relatively.
They're good knockoffs.
Exactly. They're good knockoffs. A lot like them. A lot like her. So, yeah, they weren't, like, relatively cheap, and I can't imagine, I don't know, maybe in my head I think Trump supporters, I think people who are not going to be spending even that much for a product, but I'm being a total bigot. Anyway, all right, moving on, something a little more serious. So there was a court-ordered deadline this past Friday for Trump to reunify 2,551 migrant children who had been away from their parents. Of course, they missed the deadline. The government said this past Friday that over 600 kids are still separated because their parents were deemed ineligible for reunification. And what that means is interesting. So the bulk of who they're saying is ineligible to get their own children back are people, number one, who have been deported, already out of the country. And reports have emerged that these people, before their deportation, they were given a document and they were given a choice. Your child can either be deported with you right now, or you leave. Like, you have to decide whether or not you want the kid deported with you. A lot of parents decided, you know, not to take their children with them. Of course, many of them are coming from really hairy situations. Now, what I have also read is many of those children in those situations were kids who were older kids, like 10, 11 and above, and they also had family members already living in the United States. So it could be that those parents felt like, well, you know, the kids will be relatively taken care of and they're not that young. But there are also folks that the administration has deemed ineligible because they have some criminal records. And another category of ineligibility is that they signed a waiver, giving up their rights to be reunified. And the reports related to this are actually pretty disturbing because apparently the parents were shown documents saying, I waive my right to be reunited with my children. But they didn't understand what they were signing. A lot of parents were like, they thought if they signed it, it meant they would get their kids back. I mean, these are legal documents. Many of them are not represented by a lawyer. And so, anyway, the point is, there's still more than 600 kids not reunited. And now the administration has until tomorrow. Sorry, this program airs on Tuesday, so it'll be Wednesday, to basically turn over information to the court about, like, all the identifying information they have. I think this is interesting. The court's saying, give us all the information you have on those families, the parents and the children, their A numbers, everything. And I think what the court's trying to figure out is, are you lying to the court by saying the parents are ineligible, or do you really not have this information?
Did you see, Rabia, what the agencies were referring to these children as, these families, like in their system? The category they came up with it, because they have, you know, they have the bureaucracy there. It has like a label for unaccompanied minors and for family units, and there was no label here in the system for this. So they started calling them deleted family units.
Wow.
Yeah. Orwellian as shit. Deleted family units.
But you know what? highly accurate, I would say. I mean, that's a self-own is what that is.
Well, I mean, what is clear is that they never had a plan for uniting the kids. There was never, ever an intention to reunite them. Doesn't mean they intended, like consciously intended to never give the kids back, but they also never intended to have a way to get them back together. That was not something that was part of the plan or under consideration.
How can in teams of people, adults, professionals, like want to implement something like this without thinking what next? What the hell
because
next?
Because Trump just dictates policy without ever giving like details how to implement it. And you can't actually do that. Trump commands from afar.
He commands from afar, but the agency itself, like the secretary of the agency is...
And they did it.
Right, but they still have to... They know they're now responsible for this, you know, cluster F. And
well, obviously they thought they were not because they did it. And now that's where we are.
Susan, I'm here to tell you about the best vitamins I've ever taken in my life, okay?
And I gotta say, Robbie, you like just freaked out before we started recording about how good this was gonna be.
Yes, I was so excited to see that we have this new sponsor and their name is Ritual. But first, let me talk about this, how horrible I've been feeling for at least 3 or 4 years now. I have had really, really low energy. I'm not kidding. I've been dragging since I had the baby a year and a half ago. It's been really hard. I have told so many people I know that I feel like I suffer from chronic fatigue. It's been a hard, long slog for the last 4 or 5 years. And then I saw somebody mentioned that they're taking these vitamins called Ritual, okay? And I looked them up and I ordered them, and this happened like a month ago, and I did not know that they'd be a sponsor, and I'm so excited because I've been on them for about 2.5 weeks now and they have changed my life. I swear to God, I have so much more energy. I hate to say it, I'm not as cranky. The vitamins actually even have like mood enhancers or something in it, but the great thing about them is this. You take 2 a day together and that's it. Like you don't need to take, I have a drawer full of vitamins. Do you have a vitamin routine, by the way?
I do not.
Okay. You don't need one because get rid of all your crap. I have a whole drawer full. I'm going to get rid of them because all you got to do is take 2 of these. It is so easy. I take my allergy meds and I take my 2 rituals. And every day I feel like I did when I was like 25. I'm not kidding. I don't look like it, but I feel like it. So let me tell you a little bit more about them. They are vegan, they're sugar-free, non-GMO, gluten-free, allergen-free. They're made in the US, no synthetic fillers. They're really cool looking. They're like a clear capsule that have a liquid in them. And the liquid has these tiny other pellets in them. They're very pretty and they taste, they're like mint flavor. You eat them and your mouth is minty. It's very weird, but I love it. I want to stop talking about it, but Susan, you need vitamins. We all need vitamins. Women need vitamins. Ritual is an incredible subscription service. You sign up every month. They'll send you your bottle and you're done. That's it. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to like take anything else. It's $30 a month delivered right to your door. And the cost, it's so cost effective. If you bought just omega-3 or any one of the other ones, I mean like one vitamin, it covers the cost of like having just one as compared to like so many different kinds you'd normally take. 95% of women do not get the vitamins and minerals they need on a daily basis. I was one of them, but Ritual created a smarter vitamin with the 9 essential ingredients women lack the most. So please, I urge women who are not feeling as up to, you know, speed as they should be, not feeling as great as they should be, go to ritual.com/45th. Choose clean ingredients backed by science and sign up right now at ritual.com/45th. Well, speaking of agency language about around immigration, just based, I think last week, the Department of Justice instructed U.S. attorneys, their own attorneys, in an agency-wide email not to use the term undocumented anymore. For the last 5 or 6 years, the Associated Press and basically most people have stopped using the term illegal alien and begun using the term undocumented. But this memo, this email says, from now on, you are going to refer to all these people as illegal aliens, no more undocumented. You know, I remember when this conversation first emerged in the immigration world, you know, the argument here is that people are not illegal or legal, like they're human beings, right? Like they, so saying undocumented is just more, a more accurate descriptor because it talks about this immigration status versus illegal alien, which also, you know, it's just a little more negative. It makes like the existence of that person unlawful.
It also implies like an actual someone who intends to be a permanent immigrant to the United States, which is factually not
right.
True.
Yeah.
Undocumented describes better the actual status. If someone's passing through, they're undocumented. You wouldn't call them an immigrant though.
Right. Undocumented means like, I mean, it implies that there is a also way to become documented, right? Like, I mean, like this is not the only status. No, but this is like so... it's such a small, petty thing is what I was thinking when I read this. I'm like, they have time to fucking do... like, you know what I mean? Make these little, petty, mean-spirited decisions when there's so much other shit they got to deal with. But nope, they're at it.
It's government by right-wing radio. So yeah, that's exactly what they do.
Speaking of right-wing radio and the DOJ, the DOJ held a summit just, I think, this past week. It was called the Religious Liberty Summit. Did you hear about it?
No, I don't think so.
It was a closed summit. It's because it was not open to people. It was a closed summit. It was mostly attended by kind of right-wing Christian organizations, evangelical organizations. Sarah Posner, who is a journalist or religion journalist, you know, if you follow her on Twitter, she's great. She was in attendance, and she said there was one rabbi, one Sikh, and two other Christians, meaning who are not the right-wing evangelical, but no Muslims. And according to her Twitter feed, she said that the themes and the panel speakers are predominantly drawn from Christian right organizations, ideas, and legal battles. But she says that this is a very particular view of religious freedom, one where Sessions described Masterpiece Cake's experiences as an ordeal. And he was proud that DOJ filed an amicus on their behalf. The other thing that happened here is that Sessions announced a new task force in the DOJ. It is called the Religious Liberty Task Force, basically. And this task force... it's apparently came out of Trump's executive order directing agencies to respect and protect religious liberty and political speech. But let's listen to Sessions here talk a little bit about this new task force.
Let's be frank. A dangerous movement, undetected by many, but real, is now challenging and eroding a great tradition of religious freedom. There can be no doubt. It's no little matter. It must be confronted intellectually and politically and defeated. This election, this past election, and much that has flowed from it gives us a rare opportunity to arrest these trends and to confront them. Such a reversal will not just be done with electoral victories, however, but by intellectual victories. We've gotten to the point where courts have held that morality cannot be a basis for law, where ministers are fearful to affirm, as they understand it, holy writ from the pulpit, and where one group can actively target religious groups by labeling them hate groups. But in recent years, the cultural climate in this country and in the West more generally has become less hospitable to people of faith. Many Americans have felt that their freedom to practice their faith has been under attack, and it's easy to see why. We've seen nuns ordered to buy contraceptives. We've seen United States senators ask judicial and executive branch nominees about their dogma, even though the Constitution explicitly prohibits a religious test for public office. We've all seen the ordeal faced so bravely by Jack Phillips. Americans from a wide variety of backgrounds are concerned about what this changing cultural climate means for the future of religious liberty in our country. President Trump heard the concern. I believe this unease among the American people is one reason he was elected.
I don't really... know what's going to happen here other than them ramping up like litigation to protect kind of Christian interests. What do you think, Susan? What is the DOJ going to do here?
I mean, that's what they've been going for a long time now. I mean, it's white Christian nationalism disguised as conservatism.
Yeah, I mean, he specifically brings up, you know, nuns who are forced to buy contraceptives and other, which, you know, is to him an infringement on religious liberty. But I think they're going to take, I think they're going to, I feel like they're going to start proactively suing institutions, employers, all kinds of things, schools. So Sessions is busy. Now, interestingly enough, he actually praised in the beginning of his little, it's like a 15-minute speech. It's on YouTube if people want to hear the whole thing. But he praised Rod Rosenstein at the beginning of it. But at the end of last week, I think it was on Friday, news came out that like articles of impeachment have been filed against Rosenstein. What do you know about that?
That was a joke, though. That was just the Freedom Caucus trying to flex its muscles, doing something dumb, and then getting shut down really quickly because that was not actually going to happen. That was a very, very small percentage of, I think it was like 11 votes they had on board, which is nothing in the
11 members of the House, basically.
It was a stunt.
Okay. So it was never going to have any legs.
Yeah. Sessions is doing all this for himself. He is pursuing the agenda he wants to see in the world. He is not doing Trump's bidding. He is hanging in there despite Trump's like opposition to him. So he has been supportive of Rosenstein. It's not a case of like he's part of the Trump cabinet that opposes the Mueller investigation because Sessions is on the outs. I mean, Sessions and Trump are no longer buddies.
Oh, I mean, he praised the president in this talk.
He's got to do that. But he's also not... I wouldn't say strictly team Trump. Like, this is not the president's agenda he wants to see in action. This is what Sessions wants to do and finally gets a chance to do it.
Mm. Okay, well, I mean, you know, stuff like this is, I think, why, you know, the ability to, like, create this task force and, like, clamp, you know, like, moving that Christian right-wing agenda forward. I think that's the reason that the GOP keeps swallowing all of Trump's crap. But it seems like, I don't know, but they're also kind of like you said, I mean, with Rosenstein, it didn't really have legs, so I don't know where this is going. But speaking of Mueller, this morning Trump tweeted out, was it this morning or yesterday that he tweeted out about Mueller being conflicted out?
Oh, that was, I can't even tell. It was one of the days.
One of the days, but it was recent. I think it was this morning or yesterday. Anyhow.
It could have been this morning.
So Trump tweets out this tweet where he attacks Mueller. I mean, obviously he's always attacking Mueller. I'd love to do a body count of how many tweets are dedicated to him, but.
Someone has done that. So he used to never tweet about Mueller. Like his percentage of tweeting about Mueller is like astronomically increasing past few months.
Yeah. Wasn't there a time he would never mention him, right? He would never say his
name. Yeah. There was a time he never did. And now he's all in.
Yeah. What was it? Was it Cohen? What precipitated this? I think
he probably had a bad golf game on Sunday.
Well, now he's got no problem saying Mueller's name over and over again. Trump says that Mueller was conflicted out. And I saw your tweet about it. You think this is about the golf stuff? I mean, can you give a little background?
It's about the golf stuff. Yeah. So the whole dispute about Trump and Mueller they're now trying to claim is a conflict of interest, and which Rudy went on TV this morning was like it's a conflict of interest for Mueller to represent to do this, and they ask him like what the conflict is, and he's like not going to answer the conflict, quote unquote, and that's like the most biggest like scare quotes possible there is that once upon a time in like 2011, Mueller had been a member of the Trump Golf Club in Virginia, and then in 2011 he left. And apparently he wanted a refund on some of his membership fees, but like Trump had changed the rules, was not getting refunds anymore. So Mueller wrote a letter and just said, I would like refund, please, or something like that. Probably in better terms, but basically it was like refund, please. And the Trump Virginia club never responded, and that was it. That's full on this entire contentious and nasty business relationship that Trump tweeted about.
Well, let's insert audio of Giuliani here. Let's listen to what Giuliani had to say when he was questioned about this conflict.
When you're getting beaten up by all kinds of anonymous tweets, you know, are coming from Lanny Davis and Cohen, and the press is actually, for the first time, actually acknowledging that you're not doing it, and you put out something like that, you have every right to say, okay, you explain it, Mueller. Stand up and be a man.
Wait a minute. This doesn't make sense. How can the president make this claim and not support it?
Because he doesn't have to.
Why is it up to Robert Mueller to have to support the president's tweet?
Because he has the conflict, not the president.
What's the conflict?
I can't tell you. I'm not sure I know exactly what the conflict is. I have a good idea what it is. It's one that would have kept me out of the investigation.
What does that mean?
What it means is that I would have had a personal interest, a personal dispute with the President of the United States before the investigation that really precluded me from being. Maybe it explains why he hired 13 Democrats, why he hired a guy.
Okay, so Giuliani's answer to this question makes it like it's so open-ended, like it could be anything nefarious. I almost feel like he would know how stupid it is if he actually spelled that out.
Oh, he knows. He knows. Yeah, exactly. He knows.
But the other side of this question is this. Susan, could that be a conflict that Mueller, like, it doesn't even have to be that he had a long plan to get revenge or anything like that, but just the fact that he has had a bad experience with Trump's organization.
Yeah, theoretically, like in a different world, but they've already looked at that. The DOJ has already ruled on this issue and found there was no conflict. So it was considered, you know, analyzed and rejected.
And Trump also never mentioned it before, I don't think. So it's...
He has, back in like 2017.
He did, okay.
Yeah, right. Okay. That was one of the reasons he wanted to fire Mueller, tried to fire him until his staff ignored him. So he didn't fire him.
That's like salt in a wound. I'm going to fire you, plus you're not getting a refund on your fees back.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, Giuliani's been doing quite a little media tour, especially since Cohen's tapes came out. Oh yeah, that's what we talked about a lot last week, is the Cohen tape. Now Giuliani's saying Cohen doctored the tape. He's got all kinds of excuses. He's like, he's a pathological liar. Oh, he doctored the tape, this and that. But another interesting thing he said this morning was, Giuliani said, insert audio, Giuliani, he said that collusion might not be a crime.
They're not going to be colluding about Russians, which I'm not even know if that's a crime, colluding about Russians.
Okay.
you start analyzing the crime. The hacking is the crime.
That certainly is the original crime.
Well, the president didn't hack.
Of course not. That's the original
He didn't pay them for hacking.
I've been sitting here looking in the federal code trying to find collusion as a crime.
It's not.
Collusion is not a crime. Everything that's been released so far shows the president to be absolutely innocent. He didn't do anything wrong.
No collusion. No collusion. No obstruction.
Even this Russian meeting, I'm happy to tell him he wasn't there. He wasn't at the meeting. Cohen is not telling
the truth. How do you know the president didn't know?
Because, I'll tell you why I know. Because Cohen, you know, always goes too far. And when you're lying, there's always a trap for you.
It's wild, crazy, and they're out of their minds. He did not participate in any meeting about the Russia transaction.
The president.
The president did not. And the other people at the meeting that he claims he had without the president about it say he was never there.
For the record, it's worth noting that the reason Giuliani kind of had his rise to fame and like later in politics was he used to be a prosecutor, U.S. attorney, AUSA. And he prosecuted, most notably, like Cosa Nostra, the mafia. So dude knows what collusion is, and dude knows it's a crime. So he is just being pedantic and trying to defend his client by any means necessary, no matter how ridiculous.
He's saying the hacking was a crime, but not the collusion. He's also saying, by the way, in the clip, he says, it's interesting. I mean, it's not interesting. It's so obvious what he's trying to do. He's saying, you know, the president wasn't there. He wasn't at the meeting, but he's kind of, which is not even nobody's even alleging that the Trump was at the meeting.
Well, they are now. So that's a whole other
ball I thought the allegation is that he just knew about the meeting beforehand. Not that he was actually present.
Oh, when did you last check Twitter?
Jesus Christ, really?
Well, so at lunch, I checked Twitter and I was like, oh my God, I don't know what's going on. Yeah. And then right before the show, I checked again. I'm like, oh my God, it's getting worse. So I saw this early this morning. Rudy Giuliani was on TV and, you know, saying this like collusion's not a crime. I would have the federal code out. Bullshit. But at some point early this afternoon, it turned into this thing about there were more meetings that were going on.
Oh. And
he's all over the place. So like trying to piece together is like, as someone, I think Empty Wheels tweeting about like how the day that the media followed like a 74-year-old story about what a 72-year-old said once to another 74-year-old. Here's what we know so far. Apparently Giuliani was told by reporters that they had been given information that was leaked apparently by Michael Cohen, but we don't know really, about additional meetings related to the Russia meeting on June 9th.
So Cohen is the one who leaked it. That's what the reporters...
Supposedly. Well, we don't know. This is all coming from Giuliani. And all Giuliani is like saying is he had reporters tell him supposedly this stuff came out from somewhere and he either knows or is assuming it's from Cohen. Cohen said nothing yet. But supposedly, so June 9th, 2016, you've got the whole like 8-person meeting at Trump Tower. But then apparently there's now 2 more meetings being talked about. The first one, and it's really confusing because when everyone's talking, no one has any clue what they're talking about yet because Giuliani's all over the place. Like with the claim like from Giuliani, y'all talked about last week, how he's talking about how there's like 3 recordings of the call involving the check or cash thing. Like, okay, that never gets followed up on. So what Giuliani's saying now is that Cohen is claiming that on the day of the June 9th meeting, Cohen was in Trump's office and Don Jr. walks in and says, hey, I'm about to go collude with some Russians.
Right.
What do you think, boss? And Trump says, who are you? Oh, Don Jr. Okay. Sure, go ahead. Or whatever. Something like that. So Giuliani's like, well, that's 2-on-1. 2 say it didn't happen, 1 say it did. So he can't prove that at all. I think the actual words were like, well, Donald denies and Don Jr. denies and there's no corroboration, so it doesn't matter. But there is actually a tiny bit of corroboration because when Don Jr. testified before the House, he said, he's asked questions about that meeting and who he talked to that day. And he said at one point he couldn't answer something because of attorney-client privilege.
Oh,
because there was an attorney present.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But now there's another meeting. In fact, it was 2 or 3 days before the June 9th meeting. And it was an internal meeting. It was a pre-planning meeting. And Giuliani is all over the place in this one. Like, at first he confirmed it, then he unconfirmed it, then he, like, confirmed it again. I don't know where we stand at this moment, if he's, like, confirmed or unconfirmed it last. But what he said is that it was 2 days before, it was pre-planned for the Russian meeting, figure out what to do. The attendee list is, and this is putting together, like, three interviews where he's rambling around. It was Don Jr., it was Jared Kushner, it was Paul Manafort, it was Rick Gates, and, quote, possibly two others, or, quote, two to three others. So at one point, Giuliani was like, this meeting didn't happen. I talked to everyone who was in the meeting. And you're like, well, okay.
Or everybody who was alleged to be in the meeting is probably what he meant, but.
Yeah, yeah. But he says, we checked for 4 of 6, that meeting never happened.
What the F?
So, and he says the only meeting they had that day was about the Hispanic judge that Trump got in a fight with.
What about the other 2 of the 6? They're saying, oh, we were at the meeting.
Well, it's interesting who they are because he said, apparently it's 6 people. So it's Don Jr., Jared, Manafort, Gates, and Cohen. That means there's one mystery person he's not named yet.
Who do you think that is?
Well, it depends on who the list is, because honestly, it could be Gates that I've not checked with, because Gates is cooperating with Mueller, which could suggest there's someone else there we don't know about yet. But either way, yeah, this meeting probably definitely happened. And also, let's be real. I mean, okay, on one hand, it's really inappropriate and annoying to see Trump people, like Trump, the Republicans say, like, oh, of course Trump knew about the meeting, as if that means it doesn't matter. But yeah, of course Trump knew about the meeting. We all know he's lying about something very important. So, like, of course he's lying, but proving it's still going to matter a lot because this is, like, one, the length of the lie. 2, the extent of it.
When you've already got them saying things like, oh, the tapes are doctored. I mean, like, that was another thing we discussed last week, how Trump, the White House, took that press conference with Trump and Putin and basically doctored the video to, like, to remove, like, how do you even get a, but of course in a court of law that can't happen.
Well, it's possible that there was an actual good faith accident there. I've seen articles making the case that makes sense.
You mean the Trump, the White House video?
Yeah. And that it was not necessarily an intentional scheme.
No, no, no. Trump actually tweeted later and said he didn't support, like, the next day he said that Putin supported Hillary. It became a thing. And then the Russian government released a transcript that completely eliminated the entire question.
There's a good WaPo article on it that makes the case that it could just be an accident. So,
girl, no. Girl, no.
Just saying.
They are altering reality. They are not just attempting, they are actively altering reality by doing this shit. So that's why I'm like, you know, Cohen's got, I don't know, 183 recordings. So these guys are not going to, they're going to say it's all lies and people are going to buy it.
Well, you heard what Trump said at his like campaign rally, or it wasn't even a campaign rally. It's supposed to be like a actual like non-campaign rally. They turned into a campaign rally. He was saying, don't believe what you've seen. Like, don't believe what you're reading. That's not what's really going on.
Right. Don't believe what your eyes and ears are telling you, basically.
Yes.
Pretty freaky.
The party's most final and essential command. But right. That's going to come out. I mean, Giuliani, I can't even tell. Like, it's really hard to tell if this is a strategy or not. I mean, I assume he's intending it some kind of strategy, some kind of, like, get in front of things strategy. Uh-huh. But it's awfully hard to maintain that belief right now because Giuliani is a disaster.
He, you know, as somebody who was a former USA, I don't understand, like, maybe it's his age or something, but he just seems like he damages his client more than helps him. And he does things like a normal lawyer would never do or say about a client.
I mean, that's why it could be part of strategy to, like, blunt stuff by getting out there first and, like, having, like, a controlled way of getting out to spin it. But, I mean, if that's the only strategy you have left, you're already screwed.
What about the Manafort trial? So that begins tomorrow, right? It was supposed to start last week. It was pushed to this week. I've read that there are going to be 16 jurors and that, do you know if this is going to be televised at all?
I assume not. It starts tomorrow, but this is the first of 2 trials. He's got another one in September.
But it will be covered, like played by, yeah. I mean, there'll be media in the room, even if it's not televised. And I'm assuming it's still probably tape recorded somehow, and maybe the audio at some point will come out. But some of the witnesses, have you been following who Mueller's going to call?
Yeah, it's a pretty extensive list of Ukrainian election interferers.
It's going to be interesting. You think Manafort's going to testify?
I would say no, because that's a horrible idea, but that probably means he will.
Really? You think so? You know, I'm actually surprised that he hasn't struck a deal yet, that he's taken this to trial.
I mean, it's obvious. Pardon. He's holding out for a pardon.
Yeah, that's what you think is going to happen. Mm-hmm. Well, Cohen is not going to get a pardon.
Yeah, Cohen's off the pardon list.
He's not going to get a pardon. It seems like it's all out war between him and Trump at this point. So, I don't know. All the reporting is saying that he's willing to cooperate with the investigation and basically just give them whatever they want. So,
I mean, what's clear is that Cohen like lost faith that he was still on the pardon list. Like he was like putting out feelers for weeks and weeks and trying to say like, "Hey, look, am I still on the team?" And it seems like Trump never like gave an affirmative like, "You're still on the team, you're fine." And so Cohen just like had no faith there's any pardon to come, and he just bailed. And so far, it seems like only Manafort has really held the line and is holding out for a pardon versus cooperating. So it's hard to say who's going to come out better in the end. I mean, that's a lot will ride in that question. But if there's going to be pardons handed out, and there will be, only those who like go to trial are going to get it, which means Gates and Cohen and Flynn, they ain't getting shit.
Well, given that he's probably going to get pardoned, it seems like a real big waste of time and money to even go through the motions of it. I mean,
but they gotta.
But yeah, but politically, it's not going to be easy to do either if he's actually, you know, convicted of the charges. Trump has to come up with some reason to pardon him. Well, he'll just say it's a witch hunt.
Not really. Not really. You don't need a pardon. You don't need a reason. You just say it's a witch hunt.
It's a witch hunt, right.
Did you see the tweet about the New York Times from Trump?
I don't know which one you're talking about, but I do know that he met with a publisher of the New York Times this past weekend.
Yeah. It's just a sad joke. The New York Times is, I mean, I love, like, obviously they are a fantastic paper and their breadth of coverage is, I can't think of any institution that matches them, but their political reporting is
weird,
hard to fathom.
It's weird.
And really delusional. So apparently, a week or two ago, I think a week ago, the publisher of the New York Times had an off the record private meeting with Trump. And the whole point apparently was to tell Trump, like, stop calling media the enemy of the people. You're going to get people killed. Because they apparently thought that was something that was worth doing. And of course, Trump did what was obvious Trump was absolutely going to do from the very, very start, which is turn it into propaganda.
Right.
Yeah, so he tweeted out, had a very good and interesting meeting at the White House with A.G. Sulzberger, publisher of the New York Times. Spent much time talking about the vast amounts of fake news being put up by the media and how that fake news has morphed into the phrase, enemy of the people. Sad! Exclamation point. Yeah. So, I mean, it's.
But then the New York Times responded, right? They're like, well, now that he's put it out there.
Well, yeah, but it doesn't matter. I mean, of course that's not how it went. But, like, of course he's going to use it for propaganda. And if they actually thought that there'd be any other way to go, I mean, they're just delusional idiots. I mean, they really don't seem to have, like, understood at a fundamental level what's going on here. They seem to think that, like, they're playing by rules that haven't been in effect for at least 2 years.
Well, speaking of media, didn't they just ban like a CNN reporter from the White House press corps this past week?
Mm-hmm. For shouting a question.
For shouting a question, right. This is really, I don't know.
Mooch actually went on record like opposing what he did there. Because Mooch is somehow still relevant and still around.
Wait, what did he have to do with this? I'm confused.
Oh, he just went on TV and said like, oh, it was definitely Trump who would have done that. And like, he shouldn't have done it. Or he was not supporting the decision to ban a reporter.
Yeah.
But yeah, Trump's war in the media has only just begun. Like, we've seen nothing yet.
His war in media will continue, but I don't know what's going on with his war on North Korea. Apparently, I think that might still actually be on the table, a war with North Korea. Despite the summit, I read that on that Washington Post reported that the North Koreans have basically, the summit was great and all, and, you know, they've held hands and shit, but they've canceled all their follow-up meetings. They've been demanding money from the administration, and they are refusing to communicate with the United States, even though they are still actually completely engaged with South Korea and China. But for some reason, they're just like, you know, new phone, who this? They're not picking up the calls, the Trump calls.
Because why would they? Trump's already, like, called it a win. He's already announced that he won here and that he does not want to be, like, they know that Trump doesn't want to call it a loss and reverse himself. Right. They don't have to do jack shit now.
Right. Basically, they got him to cover for themselves and now they can do whatever they want.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to find out, I bet, that there is some shady business going on with the return of the remains of fallen service members. Because in the past, North Korea has charged for that service. And it does seem like there was some money exchanged with North Korea. So possibly something to do with basically paying for bodies is what it looks like.
That looks bad.
Yeah.
That looks bad. Trump officials also met directly to direct talks with the Taliban, apparently. So,
oh, I missed that. What happened?
I don't think there's been any reporting on like the substance of the conversation, but I think it's, I mean, the fact that they actually had direct talks is like face to face in front of each other is kind of a big deal. I think that's something if Obama had done, he would have been eviscerated by the GOP. I'm not saying it's necessarily a bad thing. I mean, when it comes to the Taliban in terms of like a political force, they're not going away. They're not going away in Afghanistan. They have a faction in Pakistan, speaking of which there's an election in Pakistan, which is kind of a big deal because it's only the second time in the country's history. It's a young country that they've had like a democratic transition of power. And the guy who's coming to power, Imran Khan, former cricketer, but he's been involved in Pakistani politics. He's been a minister and stuff like for over a decade now. So it's not like he's completely new to politics, but he's been quite tough on the United States. Like, you know, like he has been pretty uncompromising in his stance against the U.S. war on terror and things of that sort. So it'll be interesting to see. And actually in his acceptance speech when he was declared his party was declared the winner.
The victory speech.
Thank you. That's what it's called. I don't even think he mentioned the United States. He did say he wanted to open up borders with Afghanistan, which I think a lot of people there might not be okay. But he wanted to normalize relations with India, which I thought was interesting. But I think this guy is going to be not somebody that the U.S. can roll over. So, and you know, they're a nuclear country. They border Iran. It could have all kinds of interesting implications there.
Oh, I just looked at Twitter. We have an update, live update. Apparently, Trump said that he would meet with Iranian President Rouhani with no preconditions.
You know, he's such a drama queen. I'm so sick. Because last week he was just like, there's going to be consequences. Never, ever threaten the U.S. again. You're going to suffer consequences like the likes of which few throughout history have. I mean, literally, it was a crazy full cap sweet tweet.
It was nuclear war threat. Yeah.
I think what he does is like, this is the way this is a pattern, right? He did it with, you know, mm-hmm. Rocket Man. Ramp it up, make it crazy, then say, let's sit down and have some tea.
He blows it all up, makes it scary, makes things like tense and you're worried that the worst is going to happen. And then he meets, declares victories and doesn't have the worst happen. He's like, yeah,
it's a victory.
Look what I did. I stopped the worst from happening that I almost started.
I also read that he, because apparently Putin now is not going to come to D.C. I don't know why, what happened, but Trump said that he would be open to going to the Kremlin. So there's that. Oh, I hope Lord. It doesn't come
yeah,
back.
That's so. Well, also, Putin decided to reject Trump's offer or not to not accept it when apparently Trump just announced, hey, we'll have him to the White House. And Putin's like, maybe next year. We'll see.
I think Trump's going to end up going to the Kremlin, though. I think he'll go. The other thing is, there was a tweet earlier this week. I mean, this is, well, it does have to do with Putin and all that, but not directly. I mean, we were talking about Donald Jr. earlier. Didn't he like totally throw his son under the bus?
Did he?
Yeah. I mean, like, I think last week he tweeted out that I was not told about the meeting before, you know, that Donald Jr., like, I mean, he.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he did something like that. So I was thinking, I mean, in the past, I've thought, you know, as investigations circle, like, his children, maybe that would make him be like, I'm out. But now I feel like.
Only Ivanka.
You think so?
Mm-hmm. Maybe Eric. I don't know. Eric is the smart. Eric, like, he keeps a low profile. He's the only one who really understands his best path here is just to, like. Keep it low.
Shut up.
Stay out of the way.
Shut up. Yeah. Well, I've heard that Jared and Ivanka recently said at some point that they're going to be staying in D.C. For the long haul, basically. And in some closed meeting to somebody, Trump said, I wish they'd actually go back to New York, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah.
I haven't heard from Jared in a while either, but I think he's busy bringing peace to the Middle East. So, all right. Anything else we got this week?
Not yet, although apparently there was some wild stuff said at Trump's press conference just now.
There was a press conference right now?
Yeah, he met with Italy.
All right, well, we'll have to get to that next week then. I guess that's it for us this week.
And next week we'll update on Manafort's trial, assuming we've even gotten through, like, jury selection.
Oh, yeah, jury selection hasn't begun yet, right? That's going to happen.
Yeah.
That takes time. A big thanks to all our listeners for tuning in to the 45th podcast week after week. And if you'd like to give us further support, you can do that by becoming a patron at patreon.com/45thpod. By doing so, you can become a supporter and patron for as little as $5 a month. And to do so, again, go to patreon.com/45thpod. A shout out and thank you to our sponsors. They make this program possible. And I urge our listeners to please check out our sponsors and use their products. And thank you to them for helping us produce week after week. Thank you to our audio producer, Hannah McCarthy, our executive producer, Meethal Thelhan. We have been produced by Long Arc Digital Media, and you can find us on social media. We are on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Our handle is at 45th Pod. Our website is www.45thpod.com. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next week.